welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Reminder that you can pick up my detective novel, Slime Incorporated. It's a modern detective novel, but with a lot of callbacks to great detectives of yesteryear. It's available as a paperback, an ebook, or an audiobook through audible.com or the iTunes store. So pick up your copy of Slime Incorporated. Well, in 1951, NBC began a new series produced by Anne and Frank Hummert. We previously brought you the surviving episodes of a couple of their characters, Mr. Chameleon and Inspector Hearthstone of the Death Squad. At their height, they produced up to 90 hours of programming in a single week. The Hummerts mostly produced soap operas, but they also did the detective shows, which did tend to be a bit formulaic. Inspector Thorne is the series that has the second most surviving episodes of any they did. In fact, every single episode survives. And we're going to go ahead and play it. It's very different than we normally hear in terms of the characterization and lines, but I hope you will enjoy it. The original air date is July the 20th of 1951, and this is Inspector Thorne in the fabulous divorce payoff murder case.
And now, the National Broadcasting Company presents Inspector Thorne in the fabulous divorce payoff murder case. Tonight, the National Broadcasting Company presents, for the first time on the air, the exploits of the spectacular young Inspector Thorne of the Homicide Bureau, whose investigations rank with many of the most celebrated ones in the annals of crime fiction. An investigator smart enough to claim he is dumb and modest enough to believe it. Tonight, Inspector Thorne turns to the fabulous divorce payoff murder case. Now we look in on the intimate drawing room of Pamela Beekman, heiress to one of the world's great fortunes. Young, beautiful, we see her with the highly publicized Lord Cyril Allerton, whom she is to marry in a few days, as soon as her divorce from her present husband is granted. And as she looks fondly at Cyril, we hear her say the words that lead to one of Inspector Thorne's most famous murder cases.
Silly boy, always asking me how much I love you. Well, I love you buckets and barrels full.
Do you really mean it? Forever and ever again, Pamela, darling?
I paid my husband, Harold, a cool million to get rid of him so I could have a divorce and marry you, Cyril.
A big bite he took out of you.
If I weren't utterly mad about you, I wouldn't have stood for it.
Tomorrow is the day your divorce from Harold will be granted, isn't it?
Yes, tomorrow. And Monday we'll be married, Cyril.
And off to England together. In a star-studded sky, Pamela, my angel.
Yes, darling, over the clouds in a star-studded sky. Cyril, as my wedding gift to you...
Wedding gift to me, Pamela? You're my wedding gift.
I've instructed my lawyers to make over a part of my fortune to you.
Oh, I say now, it's not your money, it's you I adore. How much did you say, dearest?
You'll know on our wedding day. Now kiss me, darling.
Mm-hmm. You're divine.
Oh. Nobody ever made me feel like this before, Cyril. Uncle Rufus.
Oh, my word.
Wait until I close the door.
Well, what's happened?
The husband that you're not quite divorced from is here.
What, Harold here?
The cat bounder.
You and Harold are birds of a feather, Cyril.
Uncle Rufus, what does Harold want?
Wants to see you. Something about the divorce.
Well, the lawyers warned me not to see him alone until after the decree. That might stop the whole thing.
I'll stay here with you, Pamela. And you, Cyril, scamper into the library.
Oh, right-ho.
Now, Pamela... mind what you say to Harold. Come in, Harold.
Thanks. Hello, Pamela.
What do you want here, Harold?
We're still husband and wife, you know.
Not after tomorrow when our divorce comes through.
I've changed my mind about the divorce, Pamela.
I paid you $1 million to let me get it.
I want an extra million. You never miss it.
What?
Pamela's not made of money, Harold.
Stay out of this, Uncle Rufus. I'd hate to tell you what Pamela's made of.
What you need...
Shut up! Well, what about it, Pamela?
I'd like to kill you.
Sure you would. But isn't it worth another million to marry that dicky bird you're singing love songs with?
Keep Cyril Allerton's name out of this.
You and I both know the divorce we're getting is a cooked-up affair. All I've got to do is say a few words in court to blow it up. Let's not kid.
But I've already paid you off. I gave you $1 million.
Sure, I've already got it banked. Now I want another million to keep it company. Or no wedding bells for you and Cyril. Make up your mind, Pamela.
I'll make it up for her, Harold.
Never mind, Uncle Rufus. Listen, Harold. Give me until tonight to think it over.
All right. I'll come back at 9. And get it into your head.
It's a hold-up, Harold.
It's a payoff, Pamela. A divorce payoff.
And shortly after 9 that night, we see Harold Beekman leaving Pamela's house once again. And as he proceeds jauntily down the street, we hear him say to himself,
"One little million added to another little million makes... Ah, well, there's gold in our heels. What a terrific hunch I had. Say, what's this? Oh, no, no! You killed me."
And a few minutes later, in a stark and frightening office at the Homicide Bureau, its walls adorned only by pictures of killers he has sent on their way to justice, we see a young man who looks anything but what he is, the spectacular Inspector Thorne of Homicide. As the door opens, he looks up and says,
"Oh, Sergeant Muggan, what's up?"
"Top draw murder."
"Who? Where?"
"Harold Beekman, shot down 200 feet from his estranged wife's house."
"More than estranged, Muggan. Her divorce decree was coming through tomorrow."
"Funny thing, Inspector Thorne. She reported the murder herself."
"The fantastically rich Pamela Beekman in a murder case. Come on, Sergeant Muggan. We'll get out there." "Stay here with the body, Sergeant Muggan. Go through his pockets. I'll go to the house."
"I'll follow you in a minute, Inspector Thorne."
"Okay."
"You're Inspector Thorne, I suppose."
"And you're Pamela Beekman?"
"Yes. Please come in. My husband had just left the house when we heard the shots."
"I understand you and your husband were to get your final decree of divorce tomorrow. Why was he here tonight?"
"It was a sort of last farewell. I invited him to drop in and have a drink with my Uncle Rufus and me and Lord Cyril Allerton."
"Cyril Allerton? I read somewhere you planned to marry him when your divorce was final."
"Yes, Monday."
"Let's get this straight. The husband you were divorcing, the man you were divorcing him to marry, and you were having a farewell drink together?"
"And my Uncle Rufus. The divorce didn't mean anything. We were all terribly good friends. Harold and I had a deep regard for each other as persons, but we couldn't make a go of it as husband and wife. That explains why he was here tonight."
"It doesn't explain why he was murdered here tonight, however."
"It was a dreadful shock to all of us, Inspector Thorne."
"It's at least puzzling."
"Yes, isn't it?"
"I'm puzzled at his being here on the eve of his divorce."
"There's nothing so strange about that. I knew a girl who had her 3 divorced husbands at dinner with her present husband only last week."
"And I know where there's divorce, there's usually hate, Pamela."
"I had no reason to hate him."
"You're booked to marry Cyril Allerton next Monday, aren't you?"
"You're not very bright, Inspector. When a girl is being divorced from her husband, she doesn't have to kill him to marry someone else."
"There's many a slip between the cup and the lip."
"What?"
"Your divorce was set for tomorrow, and tonight is tonight. What went on here?"
"Nothing, Inspector Thorne, except what I told you."
"Come in, Muggan."
"Have a look at what I got off the murdered man's body, Chief."
"Give it here."
"Who is this man?"
"Sergeant Muggan, Pamela. And he gave me this check."
"Check?"
"It's for $1 million. It's made out to your about-to-be-divorced but now murdered husband and signed by you. What's the answer?"
I don't know."
You don't know.
Well, it's the million I promised Harold for giving me a divorce. I promised to give it to him months ago when we first talked of the divorce.
You should have taken his check out of his pocket after you killed him.
I didn't kill him.
Murders have been committed for a lot less than $1 million.
Easy, Morgan. Let her try to explain.
Perhaps I can explain, Inspector Thorne.
Oh, Uncle Rufus.
Don't worry, Pamela. Inspector Thorne, I'm Rufus Spells, Pamela's uncle. When her father, my brother, died, he left her $10 million. She's been making a fool of herself ever since.
It looks like murder this time, Mr. Spells.
Step in here. I'll tell you exactly what happened.
I wonder what's delaying Cyril. Should have been here by now.
You always say the wrong thing at the right time, Pamela. Come in, Inspector Thorne.
Well, what did happen, Mr. Spells? Make it as brief as you can, please.
I'll tell you and let you draw your own conclusions, Inspector.
Yes.
Whenever a parasite crosses Pamela's path, she sets out to marry him. She was married to one in Harold Beekman. Things were going fine with him, blowing her money.
Yes.
Then came a bird of the same feather, that Englishman, Lord Cyril Allerton. Nothing would do but pay off Harold so she could marry him.
Cyril Allerton.
Pamela paid Harold a cold million to agree to a divorce. That was 6 months ago.
This check we found on her murdered husband is dated today.
That's what I'm leading to, Inspector Thorne. After pocketing $1 million 6 months ago, Harold came back at Pamela this very afternoon and demanded another million.
Another million?
Yes, on the threat that he'd stop their divorce tomorrow.
In other words, he'd already got $1 million from her and was playing for a second? What did Pamela say?
Well, the first started flying. And then Pamela, always unpredictable, quieted down and told Harold she'd think it over, to come back at 9 tonight.
You've presented a top murder motive for your niece, if nothing else.
Not so fast, Inspector Thorne. This Englishman that she wanted to marry, Cyril Allerton, he was in the house at the time this afternoon, in another room.
Allerton here? What did he do? Tell Pamela to pay off Harold so he could marry the rest of her millions next Monday?
Yes. Then Pamela knocked me off my feet by telling Cyril Allerton that she was going to flatly refuse to stand for the holdup.
What?
That was it. Said it might stop her marriage to Cyril altogether. And when that cadger saw himself going on peanuts instead of caviar, he blew up. Darned if Pamela did tell him to come back at 9 tonight, too.
Did he get here?
No. Now Pamela's out there wondering why Cyril is delayed. Draw your own conclusions, Inspector Thorne.
The conclusion I'm drawing is that you're trying to protect your niece from a murder charge.
And the one I'm drawing is that you're not so smart as the papers cracked you up to be, Inspector Thorne.
That's right. Fact is, I'm pretty dumb. Except when it comes to catching murderers. That's practically the only subject I know anything about.
Here. Here's Cyril Allerton's address. Arrest him and you've got this case solved. I hope he hasn't jumped town. You better start moving. Feather in your cap, Thorne, if you can nab the killer in a big murder case an hour after the crime was committed.
I'll give this address of Allerton's back to you, Mr. Spells. I don't need it.
Don't need it? What do you mean?
Sergeant Muggan, quick.
Yes, Chief.
Hop across the hall and smash open that door where the knob's moving.
Gotcha.
The man Mr. Spells is sending me to find on a wild goose chase is in that room.
If Cyril Allerton is in that room, I didn't know he was.
You kept looking back at that door, Mr. Spells.
There's your daisy, Inspector Thorne. Come on, step fast, buddy.
You're Cyril Allerton?
Lord Cyril Allerton.
It's a thrill to meet the nobility, especially on a murder scene. What's the lowdown?
This old buffer gave me a dope trick. When I got here a little after 9 to see Pamela. Then he locked me in that room, all doped up, while he slipped out and killed Harold Beekman. It's like one of those American gang cinemas I saw in London before I came to this country. He's trying to put the murder on me.
That's a lie. I didn't know he was here, Thorne. He must have murdered Harold and sneaked back into the house through one of the upper windows. It's a hot night.
I think it is.
This fanny-waist is trying to slip a fast one over on us, Chief.
How so, Muggan?
Here's the murder gun. I found it in the room he claims he was locked up in. Guns don't walk through locked doors.
You're a smart cop, Muggan.
I've never seen that pistol before. I tell you, I was doped by this old buffer.
I wonder why.
But don't you understand? It's to plant his crime on me. He's a clever old devil. Who'd expect his fiancé's uncle to dope him?
I don't think you are doped, your lordship.
What?
Sergeant Muggan. Rush his lordship to the nearest hospital. Have his stomach pumped. Find out if he has been doped.
I say, old chap, I protest.
Come on, buddy.
In England, a policeman would be reprimanded for
you're
this.
You're in the United States of America.
Well, Inspector Thorne, I must say you're not so dumb as you said.
I may have pulled a boner there, Mr. Spells.
Boner? My boy, you've got the case clinched.
I remember that when your brother died and left $10 million to your niece, his entire fortune, that you went into the courts and claimed you had an oral agreement with him, that one-third was to go to you.
What's that got to do with the murder of the husband that my niece was divorcing to marry that la-di-da Lord Allerton?
You don't know the half of it. Maybe you're as clever as I'm stupid. Anyway, stay here. I want to see your niece, Pamela, again.
Wait a minute.
You wait here, Spell.
Inspector Thorne. Did my Uncle Rufus explain everything to you?
Yes, but sometimes I'm a little slow getting things through my head. You know, dumb.
Oh, now you're being very modest.
In my slow way, I'm trying to figure out how come this $1 million check was on the body of the husband you were planning to divorce tomorrow.
The explanation is so simple that if this didn't involve a murder, it might be laughable.
I've never seen anybody go to the chair laughing. But anyhow, let's hear the story.
When I promised Harold $1 million 6 months ago to give me a divorce so I could marry Cyril, I delayed giving the check to him until tonight, the night before the divorce, see?
What gives me a headache is that your uncle told me your husband was blackmailing you for a second million. And that's what the check was for.
I'm afraid I fibbed a bit to you, Inspector Thorne. The truth is, Harold did blackmail me for a second million. I was so utterly mad to marry Cyril Allerton, I gave Harold what he demanded. That explains it all, doesn't it?
It explains this much. You might have yielded to his blackmail, given him the check, and when he left, followed him out and murdered him.
No. No, that's not it at all.
Isn't it? You're a nice girl, Pamela. Pretty as a picture. I hate like the devil to start you on the road to the chair.
Inspector Thorne, this is the most agonizing moment of my life. I know who murdered my husband, but don't ask me to tell.
You must tell me. Otherwise...
Inspector Thorne in the fabulous divorce payoff murder case will return in just a moment. It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. We'd like to give you a brief program guide for your future listening pleasure on NBC. This Sunday, be sure to hear the best of the adventure programs, starting off with Tom Conway as the gentleman detective known as the Saint. Next, there's screen actor Lloyd Nolan in the hard-hitting role of Martin Kane, Private Eye. Then, Carlton Young appears in the double role of Philip Galt and the Whisperer. As the Whisperer, he is able to enter the underworld and secure information desperately needed to solve the most puzzling cases. Later Sunday evening, there's action with ace Japanese-American detective Mr. Moto as he takes you on adventures designed to bring you plenty of suspense and intrigue. And here's a note about next week's program schedule. Dimension X is now broadcast on Thursday evening. Dimension X brings you stories dealing in time and space and brought to you in future tense. For the very best in dramatic radio entertainment, keep tuned to NBC. Now, back to Inspector Thorne and the fabulous divorce payoff murder case. Investigating the murder of Harold Beekman, Inspector Thorne finds he was killed shortly after demanding a second $1 million payoff from his very rich wife, Pamela, in order to let her divorce him to marry an Englishman, Lord Cyril Allerton. Suspects are the three who were near the murder scene. Pamela herself, her uncle Rufus, and Lord Cyril Allerton, who was found hiding in the house. Now, Inspector Thorne continues his questioning of Pamela, who is saying in a frightened, tense voice,
I know who murdered my husband, but don't ask me to tell.
You must tell me. Otherwise...
All right, I'll tell you. I think it was my Uncle Rufus who killed Harold.
Take it easy, Pamela. I know how tough this is for you.
What makes it so hard is that Uncle Rufus tried to protect me. Now I'm practically accusing him of murder.
Why did he kill your husband, Harold?
He killed Harold because he didn't want to see $1 million more of my money get away. You see, when my father died, he left all his millions to me.
Go on.
With the provision that if I died, all my money would go to Uncle Rufus.
You're pretty good at supplying motives, aren't you? Or am I just dumb getting that idea?
I don't know know what you mean, Inspector Thorne.
I mean you had the same motive as your uncle. $1 million is not hay anyway you figure it.
This is dreadful. I think you're accusing me.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
I wish I hadn't told you anything.
Oh, you, Sergeant Muggan. Back already?
I left his lordship, Cyril Allerton, at the hospital with the docs getting ready to pump his stomach out. You should have heard him squawk when they got out the tube.
Why didn't you wait to find out if he'd been doped?
Because when I was taking his lordship to the hospital, a dame followed me in a car and got the doorman to slip me a note.
What?
Sure. And the note said she saw the murder with her own eyes.
Sergeant Muggan, did she say my uncle did it? Oh, how terrible.
No, Pamela, what she said sort of let your uncle out.
If she said Lord Cyril did it, she's lying.
I'm not saying what the dame said.
Have you got that woman here, Muggan?
No, Chief. I got a cop sitting on her at the hospital, waiting for you.
Okay, Muggan. That should kill two birds with one stone.
Sure. You can pump the dame while the docs are analyzing what they pumped out of his lordship's belly. Excuse me, I mean stomach.
Let's go. Leave a couple of cops outside this house to see Pamela or her uncle don't make a break.
You don't have to leave any of your cops outside, Thorne, to watch me.
No, Mr. Spells?
Old as I am, I've got good ears. I overheard Pamela accusing me of killing her husband, Harold. All that's left for me now is to tell you that Pamela killed him herself. I lied to keep her out of the law's hands when I said that Cyril Allerton did the job.
I'm not so dumb, Spells, that I don't know two lies won't add up to the truth. Stay here till I get back. Try to figure out a story between you while I'm gone. Bye.
This hospital looks more like a classy hotel than a hospital, Chief.
Is that the woman over there, Sergeant Muggan?
Yeah, the one next to the cop.
Bring her into this room, Muggan.
Miss Jones, come over here.
Oh, yes, Sergeant Muggan. I suppose the gentleman with you is Inspector Thorne?
That's right, Miss Jones. I'm Inspector Thorne.
Oh, for your information, Inspector Thorne, my full name is Heather Jones.
Pretty name, Heather Jones. Sounds nice.
I like it, too. It was my mother's idea.
Sounds like Scotland to me. Or is it Ireland where Heather grows?
I really don't know.
I understand from Sergeant Muggan that you saw the about-to-be-divorced husband of Pamela Beekman murder tonight.
Yes, Harold Beekman. It was the most extraordinary thing.
Now, I'm a little slow on the uptake, so I don't catch on to just what you mean, Heather.
Well, I mean, I just happened to be walking on the other side of the street from the Beekman mansion when I saw Harold Beekman walking along a bit on the jaunty side.
I see.
Then I saw Lord Cyril Allerton sneak out of the house, run behind Mr. Beekman, and shoot him down. Oh, it was a horrible experience for me. I don't think I'll ever get over it.
Don't get me wrong, Heather, but a cop has to ask questions.
I understand.
A lucky break. You knew the murdered man and Lord Cyril well enough to identify
them. But I'm not acquainted with either of them. I don't know them personally. Only from seeing their pictures in the papers.
A gal like you with such a terrific gift for identification ought to be a lady cop.
You're trying to make a fool of me. And after me tipping you off to who killed the poor gentleman.
What part of America were you born in?
What? Right here in New York.
Sergeant Muggan, frisk this woman.
Gotcha, Chief.
Let go of me.
This woman isn't what she claims to be.
Oh.
She's from the British Isles. I'd say she's connected with Cyril Allerton.
Yes, an English Wembley gun on it, Chief. But not a single shot fired.
It's not my gun. It's my husband.
Who is your husband? Where is he?
I won't tell you.
Where is your husband?
I won't tell you. You can't make me.
Sergeant Muggan, send this woman in. Hold her for further questioning.
Come on, Heather.
You can't make me tell any more than I.
That's what you think.
Excuse me. I must ask you to remember this is a hospital and sick people are being disturbed.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm Inspector Thorne of Homicide. I see you're a doctor.
Yes. Yes, I'm Dr. Conway. And I have a report for you on the contents of that Englishman's stomach.
Was he doped, or was he kidding?
Both, Inspector Thorne, both.
Both?
His stomach contents reveal, let's say, 1/8 grain of a barbituric sleeping pill. Not enough to make him as dopey as he simulated.
That confirms what I suspected, Doctor.
The highly suspicious part, however, is that we found this box of sleeping pills in his pocket, indicating he doped himself. To me, it looks like a rather stupid criminal's effort to deceive the police.
All criminals are stupid, Doctor. That's why they're criminals. Where have you got Lord Allerton?
In the next room. Follow me, Inspector Thorne. Here he is, Inspector. I must leave you now.
This is the most outrageous treatment I've ever experienced, Inspector. It couldn't happen in England. I wonder why I ever left there.
Maybe the English cops chased you out, your lordship. Tough break, old man.
But I've got a witness.
A witness?
Yes, a woman. Says she saw you murder Harold Beekman, husband of the $10 million heiress Pamela you were inveigling into marrying you.
$10 million is a packet. But I didn't murder her husband. Why should I? They were being divorced tomorrow. She paid him $1 million to get rid of
him. Stop kidding. You know he threatened Pamela this afternoon to stop the divorce unless she gave him a second million.
Well, does that make me a murderer?
And you told her to give it to him, didn't you?
Yes, but she refused. So what could I do?
Ever hear of a thing called murder?
Everything is tied up, Inspector Thorne. That Dame Heather is on her way to the Hoosgow.
Heather Jones? Heather Jones, you say?
You guessed right the first time. Sergeant Muggan.
Yes, Chief.
Take this character back to the murder house. Hold him there with Pamela Beekman and her Uncle Rufus Spells all night. We've got 4 first-rate murder suspects in the net. I'll see you there early tomorrow morning, and we'll leave together with the murderer.
For a cop who's always saying he's dumb, you're doing all right, Chief.
It looks that way, Muggan. Let's start moving.
Now it is 10 o'clock the next morning, and we see an obviously pleased Inspector Thorne at the murder house, the home of one of the richest girls in the world, Pamela Beekman. And we hear him say,
"Well, Sergeant Muggan, I understand you've got our net of suspects in the house."
"Sure, Chief. Here are Pamela Beekman, a love interest, Lord Cyril Allerton, our uncle, Mr. Spells, and of course..."
"12.
Which one do we pinch?"
"Pinch my niece, Pamela. She murdered her husband, Harold. Reason? She didn't want to pay him an extra million for giving her a divorce so she could marry this panty waste, Lord Allerton."
"To think my father could have had a brother like you, Uncle Rufus. I was heartbroken when I told Inspector Thorne I thought you had killed Harold. Now I'm not sorry I did."
"Good girl, Pamela. Monday we'll be married and off in a star-studded sky on our honeymoon."
"And I, Lady Allerton. I only hope, darling, we'll both forget my own uncle tried to have me arrested for Harold's murder."
"Oh, when we're married, Pamela, my sweet, you'll write it off as an unfortunate incident and forget it."
"I hate to break up a $10 million romance, Allerton, but I'm afraid Pamela can't marry you. There's a complication."
"Complication?"
"Heather Jones, come in."
"Yes, Inspector Thorne."
"Heather, you here? You..."
"Shut up, Allerton. This woman, Heather Jones, is your wife."
"She's lied to you. She's not."
"Here's the marriage certificate that proves she is."
"Yes, Cyril. Husband and wife, that's what we are. You and I were butler and parlor maid at a real lord's house in London. Husband and wife we were, and husband and wife we are."
"Pamela, let me explain."
"So you're not a lord, but an imposter, Cyril. And I paid out $2 million for a divorce to marry you. I hope I never set eyes on you again."
"You won't have the chance to see him again, Pamela."
"What?"
"You'll be in jail, charged with murder. You killed your about-to-be-divorced husband, and you know you did."
"Yes. Yes, I killed him. I killed him because after I'd given him $1 million as a divorce payoff, he came back and blackmailed me for another $1 million. And I did it so I could marry this creature, this servant posing as Lord Cyril Allerton. I thought I had it worked out so well."
"You worked it out too well."
"Too well?"
"The slip you made was in giving him the second check for the police to find on his body. You thought it would be evidence that the uncle you so cleverly accused had murdered him. To me, it was a clue that led straight to you."
"You tricked me, Inspector Thorne. I fell for your talk about being slow-thinking and dumb."
"Cops will try tricks, Pamela. They find it pays. Come with Sergeant Muggan and me. All your money won't save you. Murder is murder, and the price is execution."
And so ends the fabulous divorce payoff murder case. The part of Inspector Thorne is played by Carl Weber. Direction by Kenneth McGregor. The script was written by Eugene Edward Francis from the original story by Frank Hummert. This is Fred Collins inviting you to tune in again next Friday at the same time when the National Broadcasting Company will present Inspector Thorne in The Vacant Lot Murder Case. In It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. NBC presents a new comedy team consisting of Bob and Ray, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding, a merry duo who specializes in light satire and nonsense sketches. Bob and Ray have more changes of voice than a 13-year-old boy with a hiccup. The lads have been bringing fun to the New England area for quite some time. Now they've been called in by NBC to spread their hilarity around on a coast-to-coast basis. Hear Bob and Ray every weekday afternoon and for a solid hour of laughs every Saturday on your NBC station. Stay tuned now for Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons on NBC.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. I actually really love this series. It's kind of like a bizarro world version of Pat Novak for Hire. It's completely the opposite of the hard-boiled detective genre. But it's played just so large. I mean, seriously, everyone in this episode is shouting their lines. And the most interesting and, dare I say, the most hilarious moments with Inspector Thorne are not the moments when he is berating the suspects, but it's the moments where he will shift to suddenly be polite. Like, I loved when he was walking off after telling them to come up with a consistent story and then said, goodbye. I also love the scene in the hospital where the wife of the fake lord was doing this absolutely terrible British accent, and Inspector Thorne insisted she must have been born in England, and I'm like, no, she wasn't. Nope. The mystery itself was okay. I liked really how many red herrings they throw up there. In this way, it's a very traditional sort of mystery, only played very, very large. Now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and I've been holding this one from Bishop Andrew for a few weeks, but I decided to wait until we actually got to Inspector Thorne. He said, oh dear, Inspector Thorne is really one of the most irritating people. All that false modesty. I'm looking forward to your commentaries, however, all the best. Well, thanks so much. In many ways, it can be as Inspector Thorne himself says, it can be a game to make people feel like they are safe, and it worked here with this whole case of the murderess. It fooled her, though to be fair, she was fooled by someone who claimed to be a British lord and never bothered to get this checked out before actually getting married. So take that for what it's worth. It was actually compared to by Digital Deli FTP and Dennis over there. He said that it's kind of like Columbo, where he feigns not being very bright as a way to lure the villain into a false sense of security. And I can kind of see the comparison. I don't really think it's plausible that he suggests, who knows, maybe the people who created Columbo listened to this radio show and it was part of the inspiration behind the way that they ended up writing Peter Falk's character. Probably not. This would be Columbo if Columbo could go around shouting, "What do I know? I'm just a sloppy policeman who doesn't know anything." I don't think the series would be near effective. But at any rate, that's Inspector Thorne, and I do think the mysteries will get a little better as we go on, and maybe the series as well. But I enjoy it, and I hope you do too. Well, that will actually do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with Richard Diamond, and then next Tuesday, join us again for Inspector Thorne. Send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter @Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.